This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The big question in business, why should we care if some subprime mortgage companies want to destroy their paperwork?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Federal bankruptcy judges in Delaware are set to hear a couple of cases today about whether bankrupt subprime mortgage lenders can send thousands of boxes of documents to the shredder. It's a question that's causing a little concern. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us live from our New York studio with the latest. Morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
What exactly are these hearings about today?
Well, the hearings are about what should happen to more than 20,000 boxes of documents. Right now, they're all in storage, but that costs a lot. So the question is whether it's okay to get rid of them. Now, to be clear, these are two different cases, but the stories are very similar. Both companies are bankrupt, and the people in charge of managing the bankruptcies would like to get rid of the papers.
Why should we care then, Elisa, about a bunch of, dusty old papers sitting in some basement?
What we found out is that even in this day and age, physical papers can be very important. I talked to Tom LaMalfa this morning. He's a mortgage business analyst. This is how he put it.
Certainly the note and the mortgage are the most important two documents.
All those cases we've been hearing about lately of wrongful foreclosures and the like come back to keeping track of who owns the property and the loan, which is why those papers are important. So here's LaMalfa again.
What you need to do is be able to trace the movement and the assignment of the note from one investor to another.
So the question is whether there are any valuable documents in all those boxes or if they really are, as you said, just dusty old papers that can be destroyed safely.
Mm. All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reporting for us from New York. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
The giant British bank Barclays is reportedly planning a radical new way to pay bonuses. Analysts say it could reduce risky banker behavior and even cut bankers' pay. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
Barclays won't confirm the story, but the Financial Times claims today that the bank is planning to pay its top staff a large part of their bonuses in the form of a special credit. If the banks get into trouble, the credit becomes virtually worthless. This method, it's hoped, will encourage staff to run the bank in a sustainable fashion. Staff would only be able to cash in their credits after an extended period. And that, says banking analyst Ralph Silver, should have an impact on bankers' overall pay.
That should, in fact, bring overall compensation levels down because people are less prone to move back and forth.
Silver believes that if the regulators approve Barclays' new system, it could be adopted by many other big banks around the world. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mixed at the moment in Europe and in Asia. McDonald's said this morning profit rose 2% in the last months of 2010. Credit goes to two things, the McRib and the McCafe coffee drinks, though I'm not so sure those two tastes go together. Dutch electronics giant Philips reported fourth quarter profits that didn't quite meet expectations. The company blamed weak television sales. Wall Street, the Dow ended the day Friday at 11,871, up slightly for the day and for the week, as a matter of fact. But the Nasdaq lost more ground on Friday and gave back about 2.5% for the week. Another economic indicator of note, iPad sales to companies. Apple says businesses approving iPads for its employees is up at an amazing rate, which means corporations are starting to spend money again, even if it is for iPads and not necessarily new employees.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. And by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com.
First, the government bailed out General Motors. Then Uncle Sam put taxpayer money into GMAC, the automaker's financing arm, to keep it from going under. Without the help, GMAC would have gone belly up, and its minority owners, GM, and other investors led by private equity giant Cerberus would have lost everything. With the help, those same investors came out at least a little better, not losing their entire investment. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us now to explain the change of fortune. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So what kind of money are we talking about here?
We're talking about somewhere between $2.5 and $3.5 billion involving these guys' investment in GMAC, now known as Ally.
Are they going to recoup any of this money, Alan?
Absolutely. Sooner or later, they'll sell their piece of GMAC in public offering, and they'll still be down, but they'll be down a lot less than they would have been if GMAC had gone bankrupt.
Why'd the federal government become so concerned with GMAC in the first place? I mean, it let Lehman fail, right? Why not GMAC?
What happened with GMAC is GMAC finances 75% of the loans that vehicle dealers take to buy vehicles from GM. So if GMAC went out of business, there wouldn't be anybody to do this financing, because this financing is very sophisticated and not many organizations do it. So the government was afraid that 75% of GM's vehicle sales would disappear, and so would GM, and they were trying to save GM, so they saved GMAC as part of saving GM.
What lesson, Alan, do you think we can take away from all of this?
The difference between the way these big people, GM and Cerberus's investors, were treated and the way regular people were treated. GM and Cerberus are down, but they at least got something. If it had been a regular person in a similar circumstance, he would have been wiped out without a second thought.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan with us this morning. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, over the last few months, we've learned airlines haven't been doing as badly as they did during the recession. The main reason for that? All those fees tacked on after you buy your ticket. I'm talking about those $8 onboard snack fees or the $25 bag fee. George Hobica of AirfareWatchdog.com has a list of possible new airline fees for 2011. Some of his ideas? A carry-on bag fee, perhaps, or maybe an infant fee to hold baby on your lap. I'm thinking it could be a new, a tray table fee. How about that? The thing stays locked in the upright position until you swipe your credit card. What do you think? Check out our website, marketplace.org. You can vote there. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, tweeting at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Patton Oswalt has a theory on the role of comedians in society and of public radio hosts.
I need you to keep the world running, and then you need me to amuse you at the end of the day when you've basically saved the world again.
I'm Kai Ryssdal. A stand-up comic makes his literary debut next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.